Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Jerry. Download the app today. Please gamble responsibly.
And we're off. It is hour three of the Daily Tip on the MGM Network. Good morning. Thanks for waking up with us as we are live Monday through Friday, 6 a.m. to 9 a.m. in the East. I'm Michael Jenkins. She is Chelsea Messenger. Coming up in our final 60 minutes, what a game we saw on Sunday Night Football in Big D. We'll talk about the tie between the Packers and the Cowboys and the Micah Parsons revenge game. In 20 minutes, we've got not one, but two Monday Night Football games on the docket. We will tell you the bets we like in both. Of course, Chelsea's going to have plenty of props, as she always does in those games. And we'll hand out our favorite wagers of the day and make the card official at 8:40. Right now, we are streaming on X, so check us out there. Or you can stream us on Stadium during our final hour. We do that each and every single day. You can go to ValleySportsLive.com or download the Bally Sports Live app. Let's get right into Sunday Night Football, and I don't know if a tie in overtime was on anyone's bingo card, but that's what we get. The Packers tying the Cowboys 40-40. Nice night for the books because they needed the Cowboys. The Cowboys cover the number at +7. Total set at 47 and a hook. The over hits. We get 7 lead-changing touchdowns in this game. Dak Prescott, 31 of 40, 3 touchdowns. And Jordan Love with a big night as well.
Flip sides. Cowboys bring in 4. Love throwing in zone. Touchdown! Romeo Doubs again!
Packers go on top 13-0 in the second quarter. Call courtesy of Mike Tirico on NBC. A 31 of 43 night for Love. He also racks up 337 yards in the air along with 3 touchdowns. All of those to Doubs. But then Prescott would answer in the fourth.
Answers down the field.
That guy rid of it. Here's Pickens inside the 10. Pickens to the goal line. He's in for the touchdown.
That excitement warranted an unbelievable catch by Pickens. Cowboys go on top 37-34 before Green Bay's Brandon McManus ties the game with a 53-yard field goal to send it to overtime. In the OT, Micah Parsons gets a sack, a game-saving touchdown, preventing the Cowboys from getting into the end zone. So he forces a field goal, Dallas up 3, and then with 1 second remaining in overtime, McManus again from short range.
This for the tie, 34, and this one is good, and this one ends in the second highest scoring tie game.
So after all of that, after all of the Micah Parsons revenge talk, after all the hype and the lead changes, we get a 40-40 tie. I don't know what to feel about this game. Kind of like the players, they were like, I don't feel great. I don't feel awful, but I don't feel awesome about it. A tie is a tie, and here we are. I guess Parsons got his, Chelsea, but what do you take away from this game?
I feel like it's still a big disappointment for the Packers. Like, this is a game that they were supposed to dominate. The hype was off the rails for this defense and Micah Parsons, and he gave up 40 points for a team that has the second shortest odds to win the Super Bowl tied with the Eagles. Like, that's my overwhelming thing. It's not that I think the Packers are a bad team. I still think they're one of the best teams in the NFC. I just feel like the hype has kind of gotten out of control. Like, we love to poke holes in the teams that are, like, the reigning champs. Like, how many times are people saying things about the Eagles? Well, their offense is kind of boring. We should ban the tush-push. But at the end of the day, the Eagles are undefeated. And, like, the Packers just went nose-to-nose with a bad Cowboys team and did not pull off the win. And last week, they lost to the Browns. Like, it was a wild finish. I will give them that. But still, these are the teams you're supposed to be dominating. And for a team, again, with the second shortest odds to win the Super Bowl, it feels a little disappointing.
Yeah, I would agree with that. And I think the Cowboys are starting to sort of write the narrative on what kind of team they're going to be this season, which is, even without CeeDee Lamb, I will say Dak Prescott was very good last night, right? Like, he and George Pickens were hooking up, and Dak was making great decisions. I think the Cowboys are going to be that team that on any given Sunday can score a lot, but their secondary is so bad. They made some changes in the secondary, brought in Trayvon Diggs off the bench to try and mix things up a little bit here, and nothing has really worked. And certainly when you can't stop opposing teams, you're not going to win many football games. I think I'm a little surprised that Micah Parsons only had one sack. My expectations were probably just way, way too high. He did get that one tackle, I will say, where Dak had a straight line into the end zone, and if Parsons doesn't tackle him in the OT, then that game is over and the Cowboys win. So he really saved the Packers from losing that game. But only one sack, and I thought he would be more of a force, I guess. At the same time, with a guy like Micah Parsons, you don't necessarily have to rack up sacks to be a force, right? You can chase someone out of the pocket. We saw him do that a few times. You can add pressure. So just because he doesn't necessarily have two or three sacks doesn't mean he wasn't impactful. I don't know what I was looking for. I think I just wanted him to take down Jerry or something.
Right? Just go rogue.
Yeah,
after the game,
I think that's what I was looking for.
Make a beeline up to the owner suite. But again, I think this is where it's important in betting to separate like the narratives and like the fun stories from like what's actually happening on the football field, because I think that's why you're not getting a ton of value on the Packers, because the Micah Parsons deal was such a massive storyline that it gets a lot of headlines and it gets a lot of attention. And to me, it just doesn't feel warranted for these odds. And I will say, in the NFC North, the odds have shortened for the Lions, because for a while it was the Packers as big favorites and we were two games into the season. So now the Packers just +110 to win the NFC North, Lions +120. And again, they do have another head-to-head matchup later on in the season. And the Lions look like they have found things out on offense. So it's just one of those things where championships are never won in September. And I know that feels like it's been the case for the Packers, at least the first two games of the season. Mm-hmm. But we're already seeing, you know, that kind of unwind. And again, I'm not saying that the Packers are a bad team. I'm not saying I'm going to be shocked if they're one of the contenders at the end of the season. I am just saying I think the narratives and the storylines have pushed some of their odds a little bit too far. And you have to be careful with that in betting.
Yeah, you just have to understand that the betting markets can change quickly, and how you look in the NFL can change quickly. And the Packers are a perfect example of that, right? Where that's why we always caution, if you're going to make a futures bet, that's fine. You certainly want to find value. But when the Packers overtook the Eagles immediately as the favorite to win the NFC East, we were like, I don't know about that. And what are the Eagles doing? They're playing like the best team in football. If you don't think the Eagles are the best team in football, okay, top three at worst. Like, they just find different ways to win games, and they just keep winning, which is what great teams do. Whereas the Packers look to have the tools there, but haven't done it yet. And also, I think there's something to be said for having already gotten it done. Like, if you're the Eagles, you know how to win it. You were there against the Chiefs, you know, two or three years ago, faltered, then you came back and you finally went over the hump and you're a champion and you know what it takes. You know the mettle, you know the resolve that you have to do that. The Packers haven't done that yet. Not to say that they don't have the talent, but it's also a cautionary tale. If you're going to just go all in on a team after 2 weeks, be careful, because this is a 17-game season.
Yeah, absolutely. And we're still sitting in the month of September, even though I patiently await October as my Halloween decorations are already up. Did that this weekend. But Jenks, what's the pecking order in the NFC for you? I think we can both agree that the Eagles deserve their due credit at the top. Mm-hmm. And I will say, it's weird that the odds are tied for the Eagles and the Packers to win the Super Bowl, but the Eagles are short favorites to win the NFC. They're +350 as opposed to the Packers at +375. Then we have the Lions, the Rams, the Niners, the Commanders, and then the Bucks. Like, I understand the Bucks lost over the weekend to the Eagles, but the Bucks at 14-1.
Bucks are good.
Like, on the opposite end of the spectrum for teams, you know, like the Packers who are getting too much credit, I feel like nobody wants to talk about the Bucks. The fact that they have longer odds than the Commanders, a team that's extremely banged up right now, feels criminally disrespectful.
Yeah, I think the Bucks should definitely be shorter odds than the Commanders. And the Commanders are going to get Jaden Daniels back, I think, this week.
Right.
But also, Washington is... A lot of teams are banged up, but the Commanders are really banged up, and they're banged up at crucial positions or positions that they're not very deep at, like receiver, for example. So when you have Debo, who's been great for the Commanders this season, but also Terry McLaurin is out, Noah Brown is out, their primary blocking tight end, John Bates, and I know most people hear John Bates are like, who cares? It's a huge deal for this offense. So the Commanders make me very, very skittish when I think about them going through the remainder of the year. The Bucs, even in a loss, there's no moral victories in the NFL. We know that. But when you look at their offense, like Emeka Ebuka has been just what a revelation he has been. And remember, Mike Evans didn't play yesterday. So at what point do they get Ebuka and Godwin and Evans back in the lineup? They still have a very good run defense, and it was a nice rally yesterday against the Eagles. The Bucs are a team that I wouldn't put them in the top tier of Eagles, Lions, maybe Packers. But they're right there. Like, they're just knocking on the door of, okay, maybe we're not on your level, but you damn sure don't want to play us.
Yeah, absolutely. And they should be lined up pretty good for the postseason. At least, you know it's September, but they're minus 325 to win their division. And nobody else in that division is really looking like juggernauts. The Panthers are bad. The Falcons looked better this week, but have they been consistent at all this year? No. And then the Saints shouldn't even be included in this conversation. But let's talk about a team that I feel like we haven't talked about a ton, and I feel like I have to hammer this into my brain.
Okay.
That the Niners are 3-1. Like, they were 3-0 going into yesterday's game against the Jags. They did lose that one 26-21. But as far as the odds go, like, they're one of the contenders, according to the books, in the NFC. But the problem is, like, Brock Purdy looked terrible yesterday. Maybe there was some rust that is involved, but two really bad interceptions for somebody who, you know, once played in a Super Bowl. But should we be talking about the Niners? I feel like my narrative on the Niners is that their championship window has closed. But, I mean, they have the easiest schedule in the NFL this year. So they're probably going to at least have a chance.
Well, I think that's it, is that they're going to look better than they are. And maybe a bit of a paper tiger throughout the year. I mean, yesterday, just another example of injuries. Ricky Pearsall got injured. Juwan Jennings got injured. And they lose that game. Nick Bosa is out for the season. Brock Purdy, you know, was meh at best. I think your best case is, okay, we get healthy at the end of the year. We do have talent. We have one of the better head coaches in the game in Kyle Shanahan, and Brock Purdy has all that talent in him. We've seen him perform at a high level before. But I think when you think about the Niners, for me, they've had skill positions, and even if they don't necessarily, even if they're not as explosive as they were a few years ago, it was the defense that really carried them, right? That was such a good defense where they were top three and they could shut you down and didn't necessarily need those playmakers on offense, even though they had them. Now they don't have that defense, and certainly Bosa being out for the year is a huge step back. I think they're going to go through the year and they're going to look better than they are because of that schedule, and then ultimately they're not going to have the horses come the postseason.
Yeah, that's how I feel. I feel like they're going to have a good regular season, but it's not going to be a team that I want to put my money on in the postseason. And you just talk about that defense. I did think it was fitting how Arik Armstead was one of the guys who forced a fumble in this game. He's now playing with the Jaguars. So a lot of those big names on the defense that you remember from that Niners team that was so good are now playing for other teams. So it's not a team that I'm super high on. If you want to bet on them to win the NFC West, they're plus 160, because maybe you could sell me on a regular season bet, because I know, like, Matt Stafford is still being held together by Gorilla Glue, but the Rams feel very well coached to me. But I don't know. I feel like the NFC West is tough.
Also, the Colts gave that game away yesterday. Like, Adonai Mitchell... Did you see that one play? Holy Lord. That's a nightmare game. Like, oh my God. And he went to Texas. He was awesome for us in his final season after transferring over from Georgia. But he had his first ever touchdown in the bag. what, 79-yard touchdown, holds the ball out as he's crossing the goal line, and it flips out before the goal line, back of the end zone. That's a touchback. And then Jonathan Taylor had a touchdown run, penalty on Adonai Mitchell. So not only do you have a short touchdown, then when the Colts scored again, there was a flag on him. Like, that is a nightmare fuel of a game where you yourself, based on your actions, you are responsible for two touchdowns off the board. That is brutal.
Yeah, usually we're like, it's a team sport. Oh. No, that was on him.
No.
I don't know if they do SportsCenter not top 10. That has to be number one.
Yeah, Shane Steichen. Guys, it's a team sport. But not today. And now you lost this game for us. What are you doing? Oh, it's brutal. Coming up on the show, speaking of brutal, two games on the schedule tonight, including Miami, where the Dolphins are facing the Jets. That is next on the Daily Tip on the BetMGM Network.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5.
I know where I'm going to bet from now on.
Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And
yeah.
You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys?
Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Michael Jenkins. She is Chelsea Messenger. Coming up on the show, how about this? Two games on the slate tonight in Monday Night Football, and we will start in moments with the Dolphins hosting the Jets. I think I saw D-Day retweet this not long ago. Miami is wearing these sweet uniforms tonight. Oh, these are good looking.
Nice black uniform with like teal and orange trim. It is sensational. Sensational.
And I'm not a I knew you would do that. I'm not a big black uniform guy. Like, all black, I'm like, all right. But there's something about these neon colors. I think that's what it is. It's the black with the, you know, sort of the neon teal and the orange. It pops. What are they calling these bad boys? Did I send this to myself?
It's the rivalry edition, right?
The rivalry
Isn't
edition,
it the
yeah.
rivalry series?
Yeah. Which, Dark Water.
The Dolphins and the Jets.
Dark Water.
Oh.
Oh, when the night falls, it's Dark Water in Miami.
Yeah, I think they look sharp. Yeah, and I'm not a big black uniform guy, like I said, but I like these. These are sharp.
I don't love them, and I think it's because, like, this is my overarching theory on uniforms. If you have a cool traditional jersey, don't go away from it. Like, I like the Dolphins' normal jerseys and even the throwback ones. Like, their colors are already cool enough. Like, I like the white iteration with, like, the teal stuff, or you do the teal ones or aqua, whatever, you know,
aqua.
Actual color name, aqua. So I don't really love the black. Like, maybe I don't have, like, a good way to articulate it, but, like, I am a traditionalist. Like, when I look on my TV, I want to know who's playing, and I feel like black with the Dolphins, like,
So if the Titans, maybe they've done this once or twice. I don't think so. If they wore red jerseys, would you just lose your mind because they have
a pop
of red?
These.
I started to say you did, right?
They were bad.
Ooh.
So it was like this, I don't even think it was like normal red. I think it was like a shade darker. It was almost like crimson and navy.
Okay.
You're just like, what is this? Like, at least the team was good back then, but the uniforms were atrocious. We looked like the Texans. You don't want to look like one of your division rivals in an iteration of your jersey.
Yeah, I'm looking at him right now. This is a picture of Derrick Henry back in the day. It's not terrible, but it's not great. I see what you're saying. Every now and then, I'll see someone mock up my Texas Longhorns in, like, black jerseys, and it's just like, or a burnt orange helmet. I'm like, absolutely not. It looks terrible. It depends on the color scheme. It depends on the tradition as well. You know, if you have a team like Oregon, they're known for that. But if you're a traditional college football team, I don't want to see like a Penn State or a Bama or a Texas or someone like that go with alternate uniforms. But I guess with the Dolphins, but the Dolphins have a great history too. A little weird. I like the name, Dark Water.
Dark Water.
Yeah.
Sounds like a sewage problem.
That's a sexy
cologne. It sounds
cologne.
Like something
dark
that should
water.
Be done in Detroit.
Oh, God. Stay out of the dark water. You don't want to know what's in there. You don't want to know. We had a sewage line break at 3:28 this morning. Do not go close to the dark water. Well, we're going to dip our toe in the water when it comes to some bets tonight. That's what we're going to do. So let's start. We got two games on the schedule. We have the Bengals at the Broncos, and then the early game is the Jets at the Dolphins. So let's start there. And by the way, if you want to bet on these games, we can help you out. You can go for the end zone without breaking a sweat. A pro football no sweat token is yours at BetMGM, and you get your stake back in bonus bets, even if you don't win. Tonight in Miami, where the Dolphins will be wearing their dark water uniforms, the Dolphins are 2.5-point favorites. They're -150 on the money line. The J-E-T-S, Jets are +125, and the total is 45. Chelsea Messenger, let me defer to you here. I like a total in this game. I'm not crazy about a side. I might lean to the Jets. I don't believe in the Dolphins at all. It certainly helps New York that they get Justin Fields back at quarterback. But when it comes to a side, not particularly something I'm thrilled about.
I'm not thrilled about it either, but it does make me like kind of shake my head that the Dolphins are 2.5-point favorites.
Mm-hmm.
Has anybody been watching this team? The defense is a disaster. Tua looks like he's seeing ghosts, and the culture is absolutely terrible in Miami to where players aren't even showing up on time to meetings, even though they're getting fined. Like, they're still showing up late. So it just feels like Mike McDaniel has kind of lost control of this team. So when you're telling me this team needs to win by a field goal for me to win my bet, I'm not so sure about that. I understand some people are going to say, okay, desperation, they need to win this game. We've seen this story before. Just because you're losing game doesn't mean that all of a sudden you're going to figure it out just because you're desperate. He's been desperate the whole season. Mike McDaniel, have you seen him? He looks like, you know, he's a dead man walking on the sideline. So when you add Justin Fields to the mix, and we've seen this Dolphins struggle against mobile quarterbacks, I understand Josh Allen is one of one, but Daniel Jones as well in the first game of the season, I think it's going to be a big game for Justin Fields. And I do think if the Jets are playing in a game script that's a little bit more positive than some of their other games, Breece Hall might have a big night as well, because I do think this is a Jets team that wants to run the football. Aaron Glenn said that at the start of the year. He said, this is a team that's going to run the football. But the problem is they have been playing from behind in a lot of these games. So I don't think it's going to be the case in this one. But Jinx, I just cooked this up, and word of advice, like, same game teasers are not the most plus EV
bet. Oh, here we go.
But if you're trying to get creative, Jets +8.5 over 39.5. What do we think?
I'll play that. I like that a lot. Yeah, that's a good one, because I like the over in this game and I like the Jets on the money line. So I'll absolutely play that. Okay. You want to make that a squad play? You're probably going to have some prop bets. I'm not a big prop person, as we know, but I like that a lot. Use that.
Yeah. My one reservation is that it feels like it makes too much sense. And here's where you have to be careful on same game teasers, because one side can be a runaway winner. Say the Jets win this game outright and you had your 8.5 points that you paid for. But then what about the Dolphins offense? Like, if the Dolphins offense can't get anything going and Tua looks again like he can only throw to his first read, and usually that read is like Devin Achane, and he's going to run it for -3 yards.
Yeah.
There is a problem, and that is a problem with your total at 39.5. I do think we see points in this game, though. Like, it feels like it makes sense, but Jenks, how many plays, quote, made sense over the weekend that didn't hit? As somebody who was on a teaser on both the Packers and the Chargers, neither of those teams even won. So, like, chaos has been ruling supreme, so I don't feel great about it.
No, I hear you. Like, my card on Friday had 5 plays, and I love that card. I parlayed them together. I did a ton of research, 2 and 3. You know, just that's the way it goes. That's sports betting. But I play them again. When I look at this game, I also think one thing you can't quantify is the head coaches and where each team is heading. And look, neither of these teams are good. I get that. But if you're the Jets, you knew it was going to be a long season for the Jets, right? And, well, maybe you could say that about both teams. But the difference is, you know, Aaron Glenn, that great shot of him running down the sidelines last week against the Bucs when they had that blocked field goal for a touchdown and it looked like they were going to win, and he's doing high knees down the sideline. You know that he still feels like he has this team. It's too early for him to have lost them. Whereas with Mike McDaniel, it's just story after story after story. I mean, look at the guy. He looks like he's ready to take a cyanide pill and end it. Like, he's just, he's over this team. They're over him. They're not showing up. They don't play hard. Tyreek Hill or whoever it is wants to be traded. Their secondary is completely different than the one they had last year. They're one of the worst defensive teams in the National Football League. So if you're talking about one team which is motivated versus one team which is not, it's definitely the Jets who are more motivated because they still feel like they're playing for the head coach. I don't know if you can say the same about the Dolphins.
They have major culture issues,
yeah,
in Miami. So I don't know who they're playing for. Maybe they're just playing for themselves at this point. But I do think from a prop standpoint, as far as plays that, like, we're going to play in this game, let's start with Justin Fields, because I do think he is a big X factor in this game. You mentioned this, the fact that you can get plus 250 on him to score a touchdown, yeah, plus 240. That's a great play. You know, he has been a touchdown machine. He has hit this in 50% of his games, and we've seen him have big days against the Dolphins. Like, I know the last time he faced the Dolphins, I can't remember if he was on the Steelers or the Bears, but, like, he had a massive day in that one. And even if you look at his rushing attempts, it's 8.5. I think that desperation certainly goes into this game handicap, and usually when desperation is a thing, that's mm-hmm. when we see quarterbacks run the ball even more, especially when you have the legs of Justin Fields. We saw him again against the Steelers have 12 carries for 48 yards. His only other game this year was a blowout loss to the Bills. So obviously you're not going to run your quarterback into the ground when you're not, you know, even close to winning the game. But I do think this game is going to be close, and I do think Justin Fields should get a ton of rain in the run game, because why would you not use him? You know, the Dolphins have been susceptible against running quarterbacks, and I do feel like he is the best weapon in your toolbox right now. So why not run him? I think over 8.5 rush attempts is a solid play as well.
Yeah, love that, and especially the anytime touchdown at plus 240 for a running quarterback. Just even if it's not a lot, less than a unit, whatever, a little sprinkle worth your time when it comes to Justin Fields and his legs down in Miami. How about the other game? Bengals at the Broncos. The Broncos are laying 7.5. The Broncos are minus 400 on the money line. The Bengals are plus 310, and the total is 44. I have to say, I am not interested in laying 7.5 with the Broncos, and I don't. This really isn't me trusting Jake Browning for the Bengals, but I will say this. If you look at his history in filling in for Joe Burrow, he's very much hit and miss, which is what you would expect. He looked awful against the Vikings last week, and he faces another big challenge in that Broncos defense. But also, there is the talent there, and there is a receiving core for him to play well, or at least play well enough to keep it within 7.5 points. And not only that, on the other side, even though the Bengals defense is not very strong this year, can Bo Nix take advantage of that? I'm not quite so sure. He was definitely better than we all expected last year during his rookie season, but he hasn't taken that next step this year. Can he score enough points to get the Broncos over the hump and have them win by more than 8 points? I don't know if I see that. I would lead Bengals here.
Right, because based on what we've seen this season, this does not look like a Broncos team that's capable of blowing people out. Like, I understand you see, like, the first game of the season, you're like, oh, they beat the Titans by 8. Have you seen the Titans lately? The Titans are a terrible team. And plus, they only scored 20 points in that game. And I think the most alarming part of Bo Nix is the fact that he has had time to throw. He is playing behind one of the best offensive lines in football, and he's still not making the throws. As opposed to Jake Browning, who I know doesn't have good numbers, but also he's playing behind one of the worst offensive lines in football. So it's just not an apples-to-apples comparison, because Jake Browning is just playing with far less in front of him. And that's the question. Even if you have great receiving tools like Ja'Marr Chase and T. Higgins, if you don't have time to get the ball down the field, You can't take full advantage of guys like that. And plus, on the secondary, Pat Surtain, the second reigning NFL Defensive Player of the Year, is probably going to be tasked with slowing down Ja'Marr Chase, even though in the last matchup, Ja'Marr Chase had his way with him. But remember, that was a game in which Joe Burrow was the starting quarterback. So this is a tough one for me. I think at the end of the day, in no world am I like 7.5 with the Broncos. I think it's going to be a stay away from me.
Yeah, me too. I will say I would also lean towards the under in this game. And, you know, we mentioned the Broncos defense. It should be better than what we've seen thus far. I think they can mitigate the effectiveness of Jake Browning. And Bo Nix, will he light up the scoreboard? I don't think so. We know primetime unders, they hit more than 60% of the time. They have for the past 4 years. So in the other game, I like the over. I think we see some points based on the skill sets of each offensive, you know, offensive team, Dolphins and Jets. But here in the Mile High City, where defenses tend to dominate and where I think we can see Patrick Surtain lock down Ja'Marr Chase, at least with Jake Browning under center, and where I don't know if I trust Bo Nix to really go to town, then I would lean under here. Do you like any props in this game?
I think if you're looking at somebody, and if you do believe in the Broncos, I think J.K. Dobbins is probably the play. He's had a relatively high ceiling this year, 63, 76, and 83 yards, averaging 5.4 yards per carry this season. I think that's the play if you think this game gets out of hand. The Bengals have not been especially stout on the defense in any way, shape, or fashion, and it does feel like J.K. Dobbins has the lion's share of the targets when it comes to attempts as a running back. Plus, tonight you get him at, 64.5. I think he hit the over there.
One other one I'm curious about, and it's tough with Jake Browning at quarterback, but if you think that the Broncos are going to focus on Ja'Marr Chase along with Surtain, and they probably should, then maybe you look at T. Higgins, maybe his yardage prop, or an anytime touchdown plus 275. Do they pivot there because of the focus on Chase? Maybe so, but you are getting some plus money and maybe something worth a look. Coming up next year on the show, it is a new week, so we are ready to get in the win column on this Monday, find out what the Dogster is up to. It is next on The Daily Tip. Come on back.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
We'll get to those in moments. Chelsea, on Friday night, myself and the lovely Catherine went to a concert here in D.C., saw a guy by the name of Johnny Stimson, and he was awesome. I was not aware of his work. I'm sorry I was not familiar with your game. I wasn't familiar with him until he got here. But he is from Dallas, lives in New York City, and is an R&B artist who has, you know, some pop sensibilities to him, but he was so cool and the vibe was so awesome. And at one point he comes out and he was just like, I just want to spread a lot of love tonight. I've got some great music for you. Is there anyone here who's getting married soon or spending some time together? And we're like, raise our hands. We're like right there next to the stage. We're like, we are. We're getting married in April. He's like, are you really? That's awesome. I wrote this song. It's called Honeymoon. This is for you guys. So he plays this song live. And it was such a good song, and everybody's just having, it was such a positive environment. Like, it wasn't a huge crowd, but it was big enough where there was a lot of energy there. Great song, and I think, I'm not positive, that might end up being the song we danced to at our wedding because it was such a good memory.
Ah, the one, yeah. That was a cool one. And I think that's people cool. Like to choose like songs for their first dance that have some sort of a memory attached to them. Mm-hmm. So like, unless you had something else, you know, that you guys had in mind, it does feel like a good one.
Yeah, maybe we'll go with that. I mean, we're caught up in the moment, too, so you never know once the, you know, once the dust settles and things calm down, I'll ask Catherine again, like, are we still going with this? But, man, we got some swag, too. Met the band when it was over. Got T-shirts, albums, a couple albums that we can play on the record player. Are you a big swag person? Because whenever we go somewhere, we're always, especially Catherine, she's like the swag queen. We're always going to end up getting merch every single time we go somewhere.
No, I'm not somebody who's big on like graphic t-shirts. And here's the thing, like most of the time you get swag, like especially free stuff. It's like, hey, here's this free t-shirt that's size extra, 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 extra large. And you're like, where am I going to wear this other than to bed? Like maybe when I'm going to pick up a pizza at Domino's. It just, I don't know. I'm not a big graphic t-shirt person.
That's fair. It's a pretty cool t-shirt because this guy's not mainstream, which I hope he does because he's crazy talented. Like, his live band was something else. But a lot of times when you have someone who's not mainstream, sometimes some of the stuff you get isn't so polished. You know, it's a little more original because they don't necessarily want to appeal to the masses. So we got a couple of cool shirts. And then, because we're going to Madrid for the Commanders game, Catherine also bought like this old school starter Commanders jacket, but it's like oversized because that's the style. And then she was like, you should try it on. I was like, I don't know, honey. Guess what? It fits me too. So now we have a jacket we can both wear. Like, she puts it on. It's like the style that I put it on. It fits like a regular jacket. I don't know what that says, but now we have a jacket that both of us can wear if needed.
Ah, so you guys need a picture for your, like, I don't know if it's something you come out to your reception in, but like maybe just a small photo shoot of both you guys in matching Commander starters jackets. That would be really cool. Like, is she as much into the Commanders as you are? Probably not, huh?
No, she's not. But she loves being a part of it, if that makes sense. Like, she likes going to the games. Yeah. She loves kind of being a part of it because, you know, we have our own little group and, you know, people who are covering the team and the different athletes that she's all met. And we go out to different gatherings and stuff like that. So that's a lot of fun. And obviously, she's going to Spain as well. So I think she follows the game and she can name different players and she'll watch the games. But she's not like hardcore. Like, if I'm not there, she's probably going to put on Below Deck or something.
Below Deck.
If we're being honest.
Yeah, but like even if you don't love football, like the culture around it is fun.
Yeah.
Like being a part of a community. Like, yes. I think that's why a lot of people love sports is because it's a built-in friendship that you have where it's ride or die. Even if the team wins, even if the team loses, you guys can commiserate and it gives you something in common to talk about as opposed to, I don't know, anything else that's going on in the world right now, which is a great respite because you're like, sports, we're going to stick to sports. And we can all agree that that was a terrible call on 3rd and 1, right?
No.
I'm like, right.
Right. We're all in this together, right? Yeah, let's boo the officials. Okay. You're right about that. So I know I think that's exactly what it is. Coming up next on Bed Sweats, Joe O. Bed Sweats. Joe O. Femi P. Recapping a weekend of football in the NFL and, of course, the college game as well. I know Sammy P is happy about that Ty Simpson Heisman future he put in. And then Jason Lockenfor will join the show at 10 o'clock. Coming up tomorrow on this show, how about this? Britt Giroli from The Athletic will join us at 8:20, and we will talk about the upcoming playoffs in Major League Baseball. The postseason is finally here, and so are our best bets. Let's do it.
Time to place your bets.
We begin with you. Please give us a winner.
Ah, well, I'm hoping so. All right, best bet of the day for me is Justin Fields, quarterback for the New York Jets, over 8.5 rush attempts for -118. So I feel like the theme of this game for both sides is desperation. Both the Jets and the Dolphins enter this game without a single win. They're both 0-3. So for me, desperation is a great thing when you're talking about quarterback rush props. Because obviously, you know, if you're not a desperate team, you're not going to run your quarterback into the ground. But when you need a win in primetime, this feels like a great spot for Justin Fields. And plus, you know, in two games this season, he's gone way over this in the one game script that was remotely positive. And I do think the Jets have a chance to, I don't know, at least make this a ball game. They're only 2.5-point underdogs to one of the worst teams in the league. So you look at that game against the Steelers. So the Jets lost it 34-32, but Justin Fields had 12 carries for 48 yards and 2 rushing touchdowns. You look at the matchup here in the Dolphins. On paper, as far as yardage go, have not been too terrible at stopping the run when it comes to opposing quarterbacks, but they have given up the most rushing touchdowns to opposing quarterbacks of any team in the league. So I do think there is still a recipe for Justin Fields to, you know, get those rushing attempts in, especially when this team is so desperate. And plus, if Justin Fields has great memories of running the football against any team, it should be against the Dolphins. Back in 2022, when he was playing for the Bears, he carried 15 times for a 178 against the Dolphins. Now, granted, these are two different teams, but still, I do think Justin Fields has a big game on the ground. Let's go over his attempts at 8.5 for -118.
All right, Chelsea. I thought about your teaser, which I like quite a bit. So if you want to play Chelsea's 6-point teaser, which is playing the total down and betting the over and then adding points to the Jets, I don't mind that. I think that's a great idea. I'm going to go over 44.5, though. I mentioned how bad the Dolphins defense is this season. They are dead last in the NFL in expected points added. They're just awful. And the Jets aren't a whole lot better. Also, when you think about two bad defenses and you think about all the potential playmakers in this game, be it Tyreek Hill, Devon Achane, then you go to the other side, you got Breece Hall, Garrett Wilson, Justin Fields with his legs. There's just too much individual offensive talents on both sides of the football against these two really putrid defenses that I think the over is definitely the play here. So we saw that the Jets can put up points, right? You think of the Jets, you think of a bad football team, but ultimately they scored a lot against Buffalo, a lot against Tampa. They can score here against this putrid Miami defense. And then conversely, I think Tua can dial up enough plays to help us hit the over. So that is the play. We're going to go over 44.5. Yeah?
Yeah. I like it. I think if we really believe in our hypotheses, and I know we're pretty conservative on the show, but the Jets money line, and you combine it with the over 44.5, that's +310.
Oh, that's nice.
Like, we're talking about value. I feel like that's in the realm of possibility. So I think I might use one of my like free bets or something on that.
Do it. BetMGM is great about when you log on, there's all sorts of tokens and same game parlay and parlay boosts. So you'll be able to find at least one of those online if you place your bets on Monday Night Football, no matter what game you're going to bet. Guys, don't forget, we're also on YouTube. You can check out the Daily Tip along with every show on the BetMGM Network. Like and subscribe. And as always, you can listen on the Odyssey app. All right. Before we find out what's coming up from one of the hosts on Bet Sweats, let's check in with the Chalk Donkey. He's here, Donkster. Good morning to you.
Good morning. I didn't watch anything but the Ryder Cup this weekend.
Oh. Well, you were probably disappointed then.
Not at all. I tuned in just for the chance. Here's some of my favorites. USA! USA! USA!
Okay. Well, that one was very popular.
What about this one? F you, Roy! F you, Roy!
Hey, yo, Donkster, come on. Now, I talked about that. That's crossing a line. So, let's pull it back a little bit.
But this one was my favorite! Take it off! Take it off! Take it off!
I don't know. I don't think anybody was yelling that. Do you have a bet?
I do! Flipper! -2.5, hosting the Jets.
Okay. Nice reference. What's coming up next on BetSwitz? For that, we bring in our guy, Joe Ostrowski. Joe, oh, good morning, my friend.
Always love the Jerry Springer reference. I think that's what Taken Off was from.
Yeah, it had to be.
My first media job, I was working at 670 The Score in Chicago. We were in NBC Tower. And okay. In that building, they filmed the Jerry Springer Show.
No.
And, oh, yeah. The people that you would share elevators with that would come from Kentucky or South Carolina for the weekend to hang out at ESPN Zone in downtown Chicago. Oh, boy. Not many.
They got an Applebee's here or something?
Oh, yeah. And I also, when I was a server, like, in my young 20s, living downtown, going to college, I worked at ESPN Zone as a server. So I would wait on these people as well that would go to the Jerry Springer Show because they would give them a gift certificate to the ESPN Zone to go have dinner. So, like, I had a lot of ties to these people. A lot of ties.
I'm sure they were great tippers.
Oh, you know. You already know. I will hold back.
LOL.
Oh man,
I need to hear more Springer stories. I'm whole hour I tune in for that. Joe, oh, great to see you. Have a great show. Have a great Monday. Well, unfortunately, we have run out of time. No more Springer stories here on the show. Maybe another day. It is the Daily Tip on the BetMGM Network with Chelsea Messenger and our fantastic crew. I'm Michael Jenkins. Hope you have a great Monday. Have a great week. And we'll see you tomorrow morning.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. Fee and fees apply. In app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.